On the night of March 2nd, and early into the morning of March 3rd, you can't see this very well, but Nashville was literally deluged with a horrific tornado, and Tennessee had a series of tornadoes that day. They came across middle Tennessee, touched down in Nashville, one confirmed touchdown in western Tennessee between Bradford and Skullbone. Doesn't that sound like a down south city? Skullbone. Where are you from? I'm from Skullbone, Tennessee. 25 people were confirmed dead and more than 300 injured. More than 70,000 people lost power in the storm. Doesn't sound like that much, but it was a horrific tornado. Christ in Action is a fellowship network organization that does what Franklin Graham's group does, what CBN does, Operation Blessing. Christ in Action is specifically part of the Fellowship Network, and they go in on the ground to rebuild homes, help people right from the ground up to rebuild their lives, bringing the presence of God. Some people say these storms were F3s and F4 tornadoes, devastatingly powerful. Some say the tornado was 50 miles long, or wide rather, 50 miles wide. And the pictures are graphic, and we pray for these folks. As how many remember, of course, Katrina? You know, you remember where you were during those kinds of events. And we, our hearts hurt when people hurt. All around the world, when people hurt and are suffering, I believe the heart of Jesus hurts. And we suffer with them, and we do what we can. Giving units, if you want to give to Christ in Action, Operation Blessing, Samaritan's Purse. The Christ in Action is a smaller organization. Some of these others have untold hundreds of thousands of people, millions standing with them. But these guys are on the ground, and we really want to stand with them. But this is important, because I'm going to get to a point this morning. We've seen horrific pictures around the world after major storms, and you see devastated homes, and you see trees twisted like sticks and blown over and just devastating. You know, more people actually die from the debris that is flying in the tornadoes and hurricanes oftentimes than from what happens actually in the storm. And so it can be just horrific. Now, as I say that, you recall that Jesus used these kinds of vivid pictures and illustrations to tell a story. He called them parables. Stories with a meaning. Stories that have a purpose and an intent. Oftentimes in the scriptures, you read where the people said, you know, his disciples, just like you and me, right? His disciples, just like us, they walk up to him, they go, Lord, what'd that mean? I don't feel badly when I read those things. I feel like, wow, just like me. Excuse me? But he told them the answers. And I want to use a vivid set of scriptures this morning. And I want you to turn in your own Bible. If you don't have one, there are Bibles in the back. If you have a tablet or a phone with your Bible on it, I'm going to be using the New King James. And I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4, if you would, please. Mark chapter 4 is where we're going. And what we're going to do is we're going to join Jesus by the sea. He would remember the time in the scriptures where Jesus said, put me in a boat, cast out a little bit from the shore. He turned around and then spoke to the people on the shore. Some of the greatest ministry of Jesus took place by the sea. He loved being by the Sea of Galilee, loved being in Capernaum and some of these other places. If you've been to Israel, it is absolutely life-impacting. It's wonderful to walk the steps where Jesus walked and go to some of these great and glorious places. By the way, there's been a horrific drought for years in Israel that is being answered this year by heavy, heavy rains. And the Lake of Galilee, Sea of Galilee, Lake Tiberias, is nearly back to its original state of level of water. And so that's a good thing. But anyway, Jesus casts out and he speaks back toward the shore, toward these people. And it was in a particular area where you wonder, how did he do this without megaphones, without microphones? But it's a natural place where the resonating of his voice could be heard all the way up the hillsides. It's a unique place in the world, actually, for this to happen. But he pushes out to water and he uses these extremely vivid illustrations. And I want you to join me on the shore with Jesus. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to begin in verses 1 through 9. Now I'm going to read more scripture than I might have been doing lately. But I want you to really see it in your Bible. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by, say the word please, parables. And he said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed, that some of the seed fell by the what?" Come on, really boom it out, church. By the what? By the wayside. Now, the Passion Translation says, the seed fell along the beaten path. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. It was laying right on top of the ground. The birds just came down and snack food for them. Snack food right there on the ground. Verse 5. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. The Passion Translation says, it fell onto gravel with no topsoil. See, it's real vivid, it's helpful, it's accurate, but it gives us in a language that we can see and depict really clearly. Fell onto gravel with no topsoil. And immediately, it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But it immediately sprang up. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was what? Scorched. And because it had no what? Say that phrase with me. Because it had no root, it withered away. Passion says, they had insufficient roots. How many think roots are important in your life? Had insufficient roots. Verse 7. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and yielded no crop. The Passion says, when the seeds sprouted, so did the thorns, crowding out the young plants so that they could produce no grain. Verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The Passion. Some even 100 times as much as was planted. Isn't that vivid? That helps it a little more in our language today. It's 100 times as much as was planted. And Jesus said to them, he who has ears to hear, verse 9, let him or her hear. Now, obviously, he's not speaking about your physical ears. Most of us have ears, but that doesn't mean most of us always hear. So Jesus is saying there's a different dimension, and I'm telling you a natural story with a spiritual principle. Spiritual truth is in a kernel in this natural story. You have natural ears, but I want you to hear this spiritual story that's at the root, and I want you to have spiritual ears. Now, he interprets this, because his disciples, just like you and me, say, Lord, what y'all talking about? I don't get it. Can you say that with me? I don't get it. Come on, say it again. I don't get it. But how many want to get it? You bet. So they did what we did. And in fact, sometimes we hold off on praying and we don't want to ask Jesus the small stuff. Ask Jesus anything. Prayer is talking to Jesus. Ask him the little stuff. Ask him the big stuff. He wants to talk to you and to me. So come to him. If you don't understand it, man, I don't care if it's a simple little verse. Jesus, what does this mean? The best interpreter of the Bible, by the way, is the Bible. Best interpreter of the Scripture is the Scripture. He will answer. And Pastor Sherry has a little key. Let me remind you again of the little key. She comes by a verse, doesn't understand what it means, and she writes two letters. Remember what they are? M-H. M-H out the margin. More here. And then she'll date it. More here. There's more here. I don't get it. I don't fully understand it. But there's more here. She comes back a year later, and all of a sudden, she's had a whole year's worth of growth and revelation. And all of a sudden, that verse makes great sense. So I encourage you, as a little practical key, write M-H and the date there, and the Lord will open up your understanding. Now let's go to the interpretation. Verses 14 through 20. 14 through 20. I'm taking time purposely this morning. I'm going to start with verse 15. Oh, no, 14. The sower sows the word. By the way, who do you think spiritually is the sower? Come on, boom it out. Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is. He's the sower, or the Holy Spirit. He sows the what? He sows the what? In here, and yeah, the seed, right on. But the seed is spiritually the Word of God. This is the seed that's planted into our spirits in order to bring forth a harvest of fruit. And so he plants the seed, the Word. TPT, the Passion Translation says, as the seed. The sower sows the word as the seed. Verse 15. And these are the ones by the, please move it out, wayside. By the wayside. Passion says, on the beaten path. What's the beaten path? Where everybody's walking. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to Jesus. You got a whole ton of people crowding for space on the broad way where people walk on the beaten path, the trotting out the day-by-day existence, sometimes bored, sometimes exhilarating, pushing and jostling and trying to get their way. And this word comes and it's dropped. And those who are on the beaten path just walking down the road, it doesn't take seed. Life's too full, don't you know? Life's too busy. I like to call it the tyranny of the urgent. The tyranny of the urgent. Did you get that done today, Kev? Nope. I had 14 other things that just amazingly popped up. Did you take time with Jesus, read the word? No, I had 10 things that all of a sudden I realized I had to do. How many know when you sit down to really take time to be with the Lord, all of a sudden lots of little thoughts come in about what you should do? You know what you should do with that? Grab a pencil and paper, write down those things you need to do so you don't forget them, then set it to the side and say, there, now I'm taking time with Jesus just like I was going to. But don't let him take you away from Jesus. On the wayside, the beaten path. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately, without any time to reflect, without time. I don't have time to think about what that preacher's talking about this morning. I got 14 things on my plate. I don't have time to walk with Jesus. I don't have time to read the word. I don't have time to go to church. I got too many things to do. Satan comes immediately and takes away the word. The Passion says, snatches it away from their hearts. Snatches it. The devil doesn't want you to hear the word of God. Doesn't want you to be with Jesus. Doesn't want you to be with God's people. Snatches it away. We all know the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, I was intending to go to church. Well, it was my intent to read the word today. The day just got away from me. Come on, am I talking to the right crowd? Has anybody had this? Oh my goodness, nobody raised their hand. Okay, therefore this is for me. I'm preaching to me this morning. Man, I know what it's like. My intent was, but that word is snatched away. The time evaporates. I don't have it. That's walking on the beaten path. The wayside. Everybody's walking that road. Number 2, verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on what? stony ground. The Passion says gravel. These are those on the gravel. But when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Oh man, that's exciting. Listen, you guys, this happens all the time. Must have been just a few months back, and I'm not going to point out anybody by name. Nobody, it's nobody here in this room this morning. But I must confess, I watch for countenances as a pastor. I'm looking who's responding. See, I tell you that, so now you all, oh, is he looking at me? Oh, punch your neighbor, say, wake up, he's looking. No, but I had there was a person, and they were one of the most responsive people I've ever seen. It was absolutely, absolutely incredible. And it was a delight to preach to all, but this person was really resonating, and I had a fabulous time with this person after the service. And it probably had spoken to this person's heart more than at any time since they were 10 years old. And they've never returned since. Because what happens is, if it gets on the gravel, and you don't let it really sink in, it's snatched away. And I had a great time. Immediately, there's joy, and they immediately, they take in the word, and they receive it with gladness, the Bible says. But, verse 17, they have no root. They have, say it with me, no root in themselves. And the phrase is, it finishes, and so they endure only for a time. The Passion says, because their hearts fail to sink a deep root into the Word of God, they don't endure for long. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the Word's sake, immediately they stumble. They immediately wilt and fall away. We'll study these a little more. Verse 18. Now these are the ones, going on to the next group, that are sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world. They allow the cares of this life, is what the Passion says. The deceitfulness of riches. First is the cares of the world. Next is deceitfulness of riches. Passion says, the seduction of wealth. And thirdly, the desires for other things. Those enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the Passion says, it produces nothing. Verse 20. Let's hear a good part. But these are the ones sown on good ground. How many in here are good ground this morning? Come on, I said, how many in here are good ground this morning? Turn to each other and say, I'm gooder ground than you. Let's get gooder. Let's get gooder. These are the ones on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. The Passion says, but the seed sown on good soil represents those who open their hearts to receive the word, and their lives bear good fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The Passion again says, some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times more than what was sown. Heart condition directly impacts your harvest. Heart condition directly impacts your harvest. My buddy Dan had heart surgery. How long ago, Dan? A year and a half. Bill, you had heart surgery. Still 6 months ago. And how many know that if the heart condition, now this isn't, you guys are great, you're spiritual, I'm not saying this is a negative, but if they hadn't had the work in their heart done, they wouldn't be bearing much of a harvest further after that, would they? Okay, guys, I love you. That's not an anti-spiritual statement. These are great men of God. I love these guys. But the point is, heart condition directly impacts our harvest. Important. Now, this is no accidental correlation from Jesus. Your heart condition, the receptivity to the Word of God, to receiving the Word, the seed, the Word, directly impacts and leads you to the kind of harvest you will bear. We're the ones Can I give you a couple of ouch issues here this morning? You know what I'm saying? Anybody, you haven't lived till you've shared the Word of God with somebody else and you've been more convicted than they ever thought of being. We're the ones who allow our hearts to harden or soften. We are. We make a choice. Have you ever been in an argument? Okay, let's just shut this meeting down now. Ain't nobody in this room being honest with me. Pastor Kev, we want you to be authentic, but we're hiding. I wasn't going to stop at that part of the question, but the amazing lack of response made me pause. Anybody ever been in an argument? Oh, not me. I'm goody two-shoes, never had an argument. But you know, now track with me. You know there's a little switch inside when the argument starts. And even sometimes if you pause long enough, you hear a little voice saying, don't say anything back. Don't pursue this. Just going to be throwing a big chunk of juicy, pitchy wood on a fire. In my case, it sounds more like, shut up, Kevin. Just shut up. And you know there's a little switch inside where you can shut it down. Or you can make a choice to say, I'm leaving that switch open. Here comes the juice, baby. Here's the electricity. And lo and behold, you make it worse. Okay, now I got five honest people in the room. Thank you. You make a choice. You either shut down the fire or you let it burn or add to it. We're the ones who choose. We're the ones who choose. Take time to pray and worship, read the Word of God or not. We're the ones who choose to listen to the Holy Spirit, consider His prompts, and then make a choice to obey or not. We don't have to become a monk. That's not what I'm saying, but we make a choice whether that activity I'm about to engage in is going to bring me closer to Jesus or lead me further away. Whether that thing I'm going to listen to on my car as I'm driving down the road is going to lead me closer to Jesus. Whether or not I follow that pornographic site on my computer, or whether or not I say, forget it, get out of here in Jesus' name. Or whatever it might be, that thing I read that nobody in the church is going to know about. Oh, gosh, I read an article the other day, just a quick little story. One of my favorite news people on Fox, just a great guy. All of a sudden, it became a national controversy because behind him, as he was talking about the election process on Tuesday night, he left open a site that he was on, and right there was some little nasty site that led to a pornographic thing. And many times, those things are on there because you've been there once in your life 50 years ago. And so it was beamed across national television. But most of us, our choice isn't will you know, it's will he know. But we make a choice. Come on, am I speaking reality here? I mean, we make a choice, and it's just simple stuff every day. Will this activity bring me closer to Jesus or not? Will it turn my heart hotter for the Lord or not? Again, we don't have to become a monk. It's not that, you know, yeah, I can't go to Starbucks this morning because it's not going to turn my heart hotter for Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, we know. Will this voice I'm listening to encourage me to walk closer to Jesus? Or will it come against my growth in Jesus? Listen, if you've got a best friend and you're spending all day with this best friend every day, and that best friend is telling you, questioning your faith, dumping on you about Jesus, etc., maybe that person shouldn't necessarily be your best friend. Maybe you should be praying and witnessing, and maybe if you can't melt the ice that you're sitting on and it's turning you cold, maybe you better jump off the ice. Is that making any sense to anybody? Will I choose to come to church and fellowship with the family of God, or will I say, I don't need it today? If you're ill, out of town, no problem. No, we get that. If you're living in California and you're not here next Sunday, we understand. We will miss. Amen. There you go. But if we're just saying, I'm too tired, you know, I'm too tired, then you have to just look at me and say, Pastor Kev, get up. You got to go to church. That was a joke, but nevertheless. Let's talk about types of soils, please. Again, for just a few minutes, I'm rehearsing because there's some really important considerations Jesus is after. Types of soil, the wayside, beaten path. Again, those who listen, there's a meaning in here. The beaten path, the wayward, those who listen to the word of God negligently. Negligently. No interest, no intent to really hear and respond. Maybe people came to Jesus because they heard he fed thousands. And I'd like to be in on that. I'd like to see a miracle. He walked on the water. You think he'll do that today? Hey, you know, maybe just a little bit of interest. Maybe. But I'm negligent to the word of God. Anybody ever heard of deferred maintenance? Anybody live every day with deferred maintenance? Whether it's my body or my house, you know, it's some of those things. And you put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. And after a while, it screams at you going, you put me off too long. Now I'm broken. And so deferred maintenance, negligent to the word of God. The devil doesn't want you to get any better. Please hear me. The devil doesn't want you to get any better. So defeat the devil and say, shut up, get out, I'm moving on with Jesus. Stony ground, gravel ground. Person hears it with joy because their hearts fail to sink a deep root into the word. They don't endure for long. There was joy. No follow-up, so therefore no follow-through. That was fun, nice service. Next week I got more to do somewhere else. Don't need to read the word. Afflictions come. The two words, you know, the persecution comes, afflictions come. The word is pressures, 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 pressures. All God's kids got pressures. And that starts with P and... Okay. Some of you know what we're talking about. Okay. Pressures, afflictions. Maybe somebody turns to you and makes you responsible for all the answers. If God's really a loving God, how come there's war? How come there's coronavirus? If God's really a good God, how come the church, I heard about the Crusaders, and how come, and they make you responsible, and the pressure comes on you for the Word of God. And people don't like it when you're making them uncomfortable because you're responding to Jesus. And so that kind of pressure, if it gets choked, if your walk with Jesus gets choked out, well, then you had stony ground and you had a little fruit that is quickly taken away, because you didn't sink your root deeply into the Word of God. Number three is thorny ground. Cares, distractions of the world, and boy, there are a ton of them. If I just had some more money, it would solve these problems. Okay, we can all duck under our chairs. Let's practice the old Soviet's going to send a bomb to us drill. Get under your chairs, because that's convicting. If I just had a little more money, you know, as a pastor, I just look and say, if Bill Gates would only tithe here one time, just one time, that's all we think. But I have to stop myself and realize that probably in that moment I wasn't caring for Bill Gates' soul. Save him, Lord. Save him. I believe he's doing a lot of good stuff. I'm not one of these people who sit around with about some of these billionaires who, some of them do incredible things, more than I'm doing. You know, in terms of naturally, tangibly reaching out for solutions for people's lives. But it's one of those things, some thorny ground, desire for other things. You've all heard of pyrite, fool's gold. It glitters, but it's no value. Boat, travel. I can guarantee you next week I'm not taking a cruise. Popularity. Things that capture your heart and mind. But let's go again to good ground. Good ground. You're the ones who come here this morning and you give audience to the Word of God. You're the ones who came here to worship this morning. You're the ones. Punch each other in the arm and say, it's you. It's you. It's you. You receive it and you accept it and you let the Word of God come into your spirit. And even though there's some ouch experiences and conviction, you say, Lord, God, I want my heart to be receptive and responsive. And I want you to do what you can do, because, Lord, with all my passion, with all my soul, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like you, Lord. And if you see something that needs to change, you know, that's the good word, right? If you see anything that needs changing in me, Lord, please do what you need to do. Keep changing me, Lord. Keep working with me. I love you so much, and I want to keep growing. You bear fruit, and you grow. And I want to finish. So the question, therefore, is, right? So why'd you tell us all this stuff, Kevin? Because I want to stir up your most holy faith to be good fruit bearers. I want to stir you up to say, man, I want to have good ground. I want to not just be a 30-fold responder. I don't want to just be a 60-fold responder. How many with me want to say, I want to be a 100-fold responder to Jesus? Lord God, I want you to bear fruit in my life, and I want to bear fruit 100 times more than the fruit that's, or the seed that's put in. I want to burn hot for Jesus. They say Charles Wesley used to say, what I do in order to gather groups of people, I just set myself on fire and they come and watch me burn for Jesus. Oh God, I want to burn hot for you. I want my life to be like you. And none of us know when this life ends, but we're going to live for eternity when you've given your life to Jesus. And I pray to God that somebody will be able to say, he was a fruit bearer. He kept growing to be more like Jesus. But I want to finish with an illustration that I heard in the last couple of weeks. And I spent hours and hours digging it out because the illustration was just shared in a couple of minutes. And it just piqued my spirit. And I want to finish with a true story about the giant redwoods and sequoias. How close are they to you, Susan? The giant redwoods. Okay. All right, closer than we are. Do you know the most magnificent trees on earth are the sequoias and giant redwoods in the Sierra Nevadas, California coast, some places in Oregon, some say even in Washington, I guess. Giant sequoias can grow to be about 30 feet in diameter, up to 380 feet tall. Come on, I said up to 380 feet tall. The tallest living tree on earth that we know of is a 380-foot coast redwood, taller than the Statue of Liberty, taller than a skyscraper, 38 buildings, taller than the Statue of Liberty. Probably it was born as a seedling when Jesus walked the earth. They can grow and live until 2,500 years, 3,000 years. They store thousands of gallons of water in their trunk. And they soak it in on the coast. They soak it in through the fog. By the way, that is a problem because there's, as things warm up, there's less fog. Anyway, they store thousands of gallons of water. So in the dry summer months, they never run out of water. They probably grow 12 months out of the year. Now, you may or may not have known that their bark is very high in tannin. And the wood is filled with volatile essential oils, which literally make it very rot resistant. So they got lots of water, and they're rot resistant. You getting any picture here? The bark is high in this tannic acid, and it makes it so the insects and killers of forests don't kill it. The fungi doesn't kill them, typically. If a tree falls and breaks, if part of its limbs fall and break, etc., the tannin in the bark of the redwood will secrete over the broken part, and it makes it look like it was either part of a fire or creosote, but it's a natural treatment from the oil, if you will, inside itself that protects itself from decay. And God made you and me filled with the oil of the anointing of the Holy Spirit when a hurt comes to secrete the oil of anointing so we don't decay. So we don't drop dead from fungi that wants to come on us, because the devil is not a fun guy. But he'll use fungi and rot like, you know about that person, don't you? Gossip and backbiting, and you know what's wrong with that church, don't you? You know what they do there. Don't you know what Pastor Kev did when he was two? No, Pastor Kev doesn't even remember what he did when he was two. How do you know? You don't know. The oil is secreted to heal and to maintain life. If you have allowed your spirit to go into the field of gossip, of wicked bitterness, and into the wrong fields of sin, you need to ask Jesus to forgive you and repent from that and let the oil of anointing come over and heal that broken spot. And I haven't even told you about a couple of more really cool parts. It's really cool. Fungi don't kill it. Water flows completely through it, the river of God. The wood does not taint. The wood does not contain, and the redwood sequoia does not contain your typical kind of gooey pitch, like pines and firs and spruces. So you know what else doesn't hardly ever hurt it? Fire. The redwood is not typically destroyed by fire. Its bark on a giant redwood is anywhere from 20 to 24 inches thick. And it doesn't have the pitch that causes it to flame. And so most of the forest fires simply help to cause it to grow even more, because it burns out the brush, and then the pine cone of the redwoods opens up in that heat and ejects its seed. And with the burned out stuff all around it, the seed can plant, and the other stuff has gone down, and light can come through, and the little seedlings can grow. Now, isn't that spiritual? Because you don't contain the kind of gooey substance the world wants to throw on you that will pick up the fire when the world and the devil want to inflame you with sin and wickedness and imaginations and backbiting and resentment and everything else that destroys a life. And when the heat comes on in life, because come on, church, we feel pressure and heat in our lives, do we not? And when that pressure and that heat comes on you, when you are God's man and woman, that fire will not destroy you. Come on, I said that fire will not destroy you. Come on, church, I said the fire will not destroy you. The fire of the world is not going to destroy you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We rebuke the devil and we send him fleeing. And you are not destroyed when this stuff comes on the earth, because you walk with Jesus and you're full of his life, his anointing, and you got beauty bark on you that makes you live. But there's one more thing I haven't told you about. And I really want you to hear this deeply. One more beautiful illustration from the Lord from this. Now, one might think that the tree that goes 380 feet tall has an incredible root system that goes down. Now, I'm telling you, you need to have your root system go down deep. No question. But do you know the giant redwood's typical root system, listen, only goes 10 to 16 feet deep? Now listen, only 10 to 16 feet deep. But you know what it does? It goes 10 to 16 feet deep, and it sends out its roots 60 to 100 feet to entwine its roots with the other redwoods. So when the storm and the fire and the junk comes against us, that redwood stands tall and strong because it's entwined with the other redwoods. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you think you can live without the family of God and the church in your life, God did not intend for you to dwell alone. 380 feet tall, 10 to 16 feet deep for taproot isn't much. But sending those roots out to grab on to the others means that when the fire comes and when the winds blow, that redwood's not going over. And when the winds come and the fire burns and the problems come against you, you need to be standing strong with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hold on tight and we'll stay together and we'll make it together to go where Jesus wants us to go. Come on, redwood. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't care where you live. You need to find a local church that believes in this right here. No matter where you go on the face of the planet, somebody who believes in this and the reality of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit present today, who believes in the blood of Jesus and saved by grace and Him alone, who believes in this word and who believes in the family of God, because God has ordained you to be planted in a forest with other trees and your trunk and your roots hold on so you remain strong. Amen. Listen, guys, we're going to keep going and keep growing. So I want to hear you say amen to this phrase, grow great roots. Stand with me, would you please, musicians, would you come? If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, and I pray He has, maybe there's a few responses to have. We're going to go back to Trading My Sorrows, Roxanne, key of G, y'all. But maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart and you can admit, you know, I haven't always had the right kind of soil and I'm bore a couple of weeds. And so, Lord, I've got to get rid of all that this morning. Maybe you can say, I'm getting rid of the junk this morning. So I'm good ground. So I'm good soil. So I can bear great roots. If that's you and you want to pray right where you are, you're welcome to. If you want to come up and pray with one of us up here, we're here to pray for you. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you need the Spirit of God released in your life. There's teams of people here to pray for you. What a joy in the Lord. Maybe you need healing in your body and we'll lay elbows on you for that healing power. We believe Jesus heals. And we know He is good. I want to just thank you for stepping into the house of God this morning because I believe He's here and He knows you're here. And I believe your life and mine is going to be changed forever because we've taken this time. And when you come into the presence of God, you are tapped into eternity. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together and we pray that you will be glorified through our lives. And Lord, you see us as we stand here this morning. What we really want to do is we want to bear good fruit. We want to have great soil and have great roots in order to bear great fruits. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. We love you so much, Jesus. And they all said,
amen.
Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together in this place this morning. Pray you will bless and strengthen your people as they leave and go to their places of homes and schools and work or just wherever they go. Lord, let there be great new fruit bearing in each of our lives. Lord, we thank you that You have saved us, redeemed us, filled us with the Spirit, and you've planted your word in our heart. And Lord, again, we say we want to bear fruit 100-fold. So Lord, we yield and surrender to you. Bless each one this day in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Finally, my beloved ones, may the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, be flowing in your spirit. So shall it be. The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. And Lord, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Have a fantastic day in the presence of the Lord.